This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamotu, MPR. If you enjoy this MPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app.
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Shelf Awareness, the podcast of the Palmerston North City Library, where we explore what's good on the shelf and what's good for oneself. My name's Angela, and I hope you enjoy what we have lined up for you today. As always, we love to connect with our community, so if you have any questions or feedback about the podcast, send us an email to PNCL, short for Palmerston North City Library, at pncc.govt.nz. Let's get into it. From zealous bakers looking for a challenge, to those looking for inspiration, to bakers just starting out and wanting to learn the basics, the City Library's got you covered. Here to talk about all things delicious is service guide Alex. Welcome, Alex.
Thank you for having me.
So let's crack on into some of your favourite recommendations for all things sweet and tasty.
Cool. So I don't know about you, Angela, but I love brownies.
Oh, yes.
So first up, we've got the Brownie Diaries by Leah Hislop. Brownie lovers will want to keep an eye out for the Brownie Diaries. If you're looking for more excuses for whipping up a batch of brownies for any occasion, or just want to add more indulgent brownies to your repertoire, look no further. Packed with over 50 varieties, this is the ultimate brownie book. My personal favourites are her Emergency Brownie, for one, for when you just need a quick brownie, and then caramel-infused Payday Brownie inspired by the Millionaire's Shortbread. Yum.
Oh, delicious.
Now, important question, Angela. How do you like your brownies? Do you like them fudgy and gooey or firm and cakey?
Oh, that is an important question for today. Fudgy, absolutely fudgy.
Definitely, yeah. And always the corner piece, then you get a bit of everything.
Absolutely.
And next up, we've got Jane's Patisserie by Jane Dunn. If you've ever spent an unhealthy amount of time watching baking videos on Instagram, you might have come across her sweet treats. This recipe book contains many of her popular recipes, as well as some exclusive creations you won't find elsewhere. Filled with 100 delicious baked goods, from cakes to slices to biscuits, those of you with a sweet tooth are sure to find something scrumptious inside. Not to disparage any previous mentions of brownies, but her triple chocolate brownies are a must try. I've also just found out that Jane's released a new book today called Jane's Patisserie Celebrate. You heard it here first.
Oh, thanks, Alex. And you'll be able to search that title in our library catalogue, which can be done on any of our library computers, or download our free app. What's up next, Alex?
Cool. So next, it's not just one book, it's a whole range of books, and that's by Chelsea Winter. Avid bakers will be familiar with celebrity chef and three-time best-selling author Chelsea Winter and her extensive range of cookbooks. Covering a variety of tasty New Zealand classics like Anzac biscuits, Louise cake, and custard squares, you'll also discover some of her brilliant new creations. All of Chelsea Winter's books can be borrowed from our collection. A special mention goes to her Oat My Goodness Slice from Eat, a crunchy golden oat base and crumbled topping with a rich caramel filling. The slice is so sweet, you'll want to share with others.
Excellent. And speaking of social media giants, Preppy Kitchen, Alex?
Oh, yes. Up and coming, John Cannell has got a YouTube channel and he's just released a new book. It's called Preppy Kitchen. It's offering delicious twists and personal flares on well-known classics like orange pecan cinnamon rolls and pavlova with orange curd. But it's not just summertime favourites. Preppy Kitchen is arranged by the seasons to keep you inspired throughout the year. Pastry experts might want to try it as passion fruit millefeuille. You more daring types will be tempted by his chocolate carrot cake. Surely dark chocolate and baking spices are a terrible flavour combination, yet somehow it just works. And of course, you cannot go wrong with a thick slathering of cream cheese icing.
Absolutely not. And we can certainly never go wrong with Alex here on staff. Alex loves to bring in some of his delicious treats now and again. So we're very, very spoiled. Thank you so much, Alex, for your recommendations.
Thank you.
Also, keep an eye out for more recipe books by popular YouTubers such as Cupcake Gemma, Food 52, and Bigger, Bolder Baking, all coming soon. Jenny is just coming off the back of Local History Week, so it's been a very, very busy time for her. Jenny is our Heritage Programs Coordinator. Welcome, Jenny.
Thank you. Yeah, it's good to be here.
Thank you. Now, Jenny, what are some of the highlights of the recent Local History Week in your view?
The lunchtime talks
have been
actually quite wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a regular activity that happens in our Local History Weeks. And this year, I think we had a really, really good sort of mix of different kinds of talks. Some of them were quite sort of relevant to what's happening in the world today. We had the most amazing talk by Leanne Hickman on the pox, the flu and the Rona. And this was kind of a century of infectious diseases in Palmerston North, and it included a talk about smallpox, which was 1900, and the influenza pandemic in 1918, and then we moved to the COVID-19 pandemic of today. So Leanne had done a lot of research on the earlier pandemics.
Mm.
And she's been involved working as a technician during the COVID-19 pandemic. So it was very interesting hearing the story through her eyes.
Mm, fascinating, yeah. To be able to compare it to previous pandemics as well.
Yeah, no, it was a really stunning talk. Another talk that was really a standout, well, I guess they were all standouts, but another really fantastic one was Earning a Crust, Faces of the Work in Palmerston North's Past. And it was a talk that led on from the 2023 Heritage Trust calendar, which they produce every year for mm-hmm. sale. And members of the trust talked about different photographs that were in the calendar, and that was really, really interesting, and it was great.
Oh, fantastic. Lovely to go into a bit more depth, because that calendar is popular every time it comes out. We do get asked, you know, where to get that from, so generally people can come up to the second floor of the Central Library, can't they?
Yes, mm. Yeah, and there's still a few copies for sale, but it's a limited edition, so they've got to be in quick. And then another lunchtime talk, which was really, really fantastic, was our lovely Lynn Kirkland, who is the from the Herb Farm. She developed the Herb Farm 30 years ago. And Lynn did a talk on the process of self-publishing a memoir. Lynn's published a couple of memoirs, and she's working on a new one about the history of the Herb Farm to celebrate 30 years.
Lovely. And there was also a talk by Richard Shaw.
Yes, we had a talk by Richard Shaw from Massey University, a special event, The Forgotten Coast, and Richard talked about his new book, which is The Forgotten Coast, and it explores a personal story from our bicultural history. In his book, he tells an old family story he was never told when he was growing up, and that his ancestors once farmed land in Taranaki, confiscated from Māori and sold to his great-grandfather. So it was a really, it was a very personal story.
Mm.
So it was very much Richard's story.
Mm.
But it was a very brave story for him to be telling, and it was a, I guess, quite confrontational in a way to sit and listen to what happened,
mm.
and what happened, because it was involved Parihaka was involved. It was a story of what happened there.
So important to have these conversations and be able to reflect.
Yeah, so amazing and really an amazing story for Richard to have written and then come and talked about during Local History Week because, you know, these are the kinds of conversations that we should probably be having more of when we are sort of looking at history.
Absolutely. And also a chance to celebrate. I understand there was a fantastic afternoon tea as well.
Yeah, to kick off Local History Week, we had an afternoon tea concert and it was upstairs on the heritage floor where we've got our lovely New Zealand and Māori and Pacifica collections. And it was a Dame Vera Lynn Remembered, and our wonderful Vicky Lee, musician here in Palmerston North, she performed hits from Dame Vera, and it was just a lovely, lovely afternoon. She involved the audience with some of those lovely old songs. She got them up singing, and everyone had the most fantastic time. And
it was wonderful.
Yeah, it was lovely. Yeah. And it's sort of, you know, thinking about, you know, when the second floor was the tea rooms for Ross and Co. back in the 30s, and so it was just so nice to kind of recreate that feeling.
Yes.
The concert was followed by a lovely afternoon tea, and everyone who came just really enjoyed it and got into the spirit of the whole kind of tea rooms.
Oh, fantastic. And thank you so much for putting all of this together as well, Jenny. Would you like to tell us a little bit more about your role as Heritage Programs Coordinator? Because obviously Local History Week is just a wee part of that. There's so much more to your role.
Yeah, it's a big part, but it's only one of the parts.
Mm.
In my role, I'm also responsible for the collections that you find on the second floor, on the heritage floor, and the collections that are up there are the country's Aotearoa New Zealand collection, and this includes books about people, places, history, local history, and politics. Mm-hmm. So it's all of that non-fiction New Zealand material that covers all those areas.
Mm-hmm. So anyone really looking into exploring their identity, either individually or collectively as either locally as Palmerston North or Aotearoa New Zealand, including Pacifica as well.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Mm. Also, we have the genealogy collections up there, which I am responsible for the material in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And I also currently look after the Kaupapa Māori collection and the Pacific Island collection. So it's quite a big area, but it's also a very important area. Those collections are one of our... one of the jewels in our crown, because they are about, you know, that they're about us. They are about Aotearoa. Very important.
And it's not just one of those collections. It's a bit like going to a museum that you could just look at from afar. People are invited to come in and explore, aren't they?
They are, definitely. Mm. And that, I guess, is another part of the job. The customer engagement that's involved.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of reference work that needs to be done in that area. Helping people with research, advice, expertise. So it's helping.
So it all just starts with a conversation first, doesn't it? And then you take it from there.
Mm. Yeah. The programming side of my job involves many, many different activities because there's a lot of things that programming includes. Because programming is really about connecting the community with ideas, collections, supporting them on their own lifelong learning journey. So so that's really, really important, and it's a whole lot of different things. But some of the things that I'm very much involved in are exhibitions and displays, and this can be exhibitions of images, book displays, which are, as a library, yes, very important, and all sorts of other kinds of displays, like we've had clothing displays and displays of items of interest, that sort of thing, that are connected to historical times or many of those sorts of things. It also involves talks, and so we'll have talks, historical talks, political talks. We even have a series of military talks because there's a connection with the military here in the Manawatū.
Always a lot of interest for those talks as well, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. There is a lot of interest.
Yeah, and that tends to feed into your programming as well, doesn't it, that community engagement? So you're often out there networking, talking with individuals or community groups to actually get that feedback as to what that programming's going to look like.
Yeah, there's a lot of networking because you're making relationships with speakers, with writers, with... publishers, particularly when we're working with trying to get different writers to come and do talks, and this will include workshops because we do have a number of workshops that happen, and often writing workshops, memoir writing, but also we have had genealogy workshops, all of these kinds of things.
And we're moving more into gathering that oral history as well, aren't we, from individuals?
Yes, we are. Yep, definitely in that area. We also support and have book launches, which generally is supporting our local writers, but that's very important. And, you know, some of the lovely book launches we've had with Lynn Kirkland, with her latest memoir, and we've got a book launch for Proof, which is a book published by Massey University Press, to celebrate 20 years of the Print Society in New Zealand. So,
how brilliant.
So that's going to be a lovely one. And again, that's kind of, you know, that's history. Also, we're having a book launch for Ronnie Fitzmaurice, who's an ex-regional councillor and a very important community character. So Ronnie's had publishing a memoir called Don't Follow Me, Vera Girl. She's a much admired identity in Palmerston North, and so that will be a very special book launch. So celebrating our local writers and our local writing is very important.
Do you have a box of negatives or slides sitting in your garage that you're not too sure what to do with? Or perhaps there's a family member with a significant birthday coming up. You'd like to do a slideshow, but all your photographs are stuck in a shrink-wrapped album from the 80s. If that's the case, you might want to head up to the second floor of the Central Library. We have a high-quality digitisation station that you can use for free to preserve your documents, photographs, negatives and slides. We can help you scan them and save them to a USB. For more information, just give us a call on 06 351 4100 or email heritage@pncc.govt.nz.
Hello and welcome, normal human peoples. This is Cam Dickens of the Palmerston North City Central Library, actor and author based here in the Manawatū. And I have today's book review for you, which is The Messenger by Marcus Zozik. Now, The Messenger is the tale of Ed Kennedy, a 20-something cab driver who, through a convoluted series of events that start with him accidentally foiling a bank robbery, finds himself drawn into a mysterious game of cat and mouse, where he is given marked playing cards that lead him on a mission to help the people of his community. And with each card and with each new person he helps, he finds himself drawn further and further into this mysterious game of intrigue until he has to start questioning who is behind this message and also what does it matter to him. And as Ed progresses through town helping other people, he discovers or comes to understand his own self-worth, his own privilege, and what things really mean to him. Now, I read this one probably every 2 years. It's my favourite book of all time. The reason for that is because it is so genuinely written, so heartfelt, that it actually becomes, for me, a transcendental experience. It's not just reading the book. You experience this whole thing through it. It's the whole slew of emotions. Marcus Zuzic works. He works rage and pain, regret, shame, sadness, happiness, joy, unfiltered love into his work to such an extent that you can't help but just feel everything that is being laid out before you as Ed goes on his journey. It becomes something really quite beautiful. And I'm going to read to you part of it. So this is probably a third into the book. And Ed has been helping a young girl named Sophie, who is a track star, but hasn't found the spark that lets her win her races just yet. So this takes place on the day of one of the races. Ed has just given a shoebox to Sophie's father, which upon opening has revealed that it is empty. This is The Messenger by Marcus Zuzic. I haven't shaved, and I feel like death warmed up at the track. I didn't bring the cab until 6 a.m. this morning and went straight over to Sophie's place and over to the track. I've got a sausage roll for breakfast and some coffee. Sophie gets called for the 1500 and she goes barefoot. I smile at the thought of it. Barefoot shoes. Just don't let her get stepped on, I say. A few minutes later, her father approaches the fence. The race begins. The other dickhead starts yelling out. And Sophie gets tripped up on the back straight after a lap. She falls amongst the lead group of five and the rest of them stretch out up to maybe 25 metres in front. When she gets back up, it reminds me of that bit in Chariots of Fire when Eric Little falls over and runs past everyone to win. There are two laps to run and she's still well behind. She gets the first two runners easily and she's running like she does in the morning. There's no strain. The only thing you can see on her is the feeling of freedom and the purest sense that she's alive. All she needs is the hood and the red pants. Her bare feet carry her past the third one, and soon she's up alongside her nemesis. She goes past her and holds her with 200 to go. Just like in the mornings, I think. And people have stopped to watch. They saw her fall and stand and keep going. Now they watch her out in front beyond everything that's ever been done on a normal weekend in this town. The discus has stopped, and the high jump, everything has. All there is the girl with the sunshine hair and the killer voice breathing and being in front. The other girl comes at her. She pushes for the lead. There's blood on Sophie's knees from the fall, and she also got spiked, I think, but this is how it has to be. The last 100 meters nearly kill her. I can see the pain tightening on her face. Her barefoot feet bleed on their way across the balding grass. She almost smiles from the pain, from the beauty of it. She's out of herself. Barefoot. More alive than anyone I've ever witnessed. They run at the line. And the other girl wins, like always. As they go over the line, Sophie collapses, and down there on the ground she rolls onto her back and looks up at the sky. There's ache in her arms, and ache in her legs, and ache in her heart, but on her face is the beauty of the morning. And for the first time, I think she recognizes it. 5:30 a.m. Sophie father's claps. Like always, only this time he's not alone. The other girl's father claps now too. "It's a hell of a daughter you got there," he says. Sophie's father only nods modestly and says, "Thank you. So have you." And that is The Messenger by Marcus Zuzic. I do hope you feel interested enough to pick up a copy of this wonderful book and read it for yourself. It is truly an experience that I love to repeat over and over again. And that's me. Have a lovely day, and we'll see you in the library.
That wraps another episode of Shelf Awareness. Thank you so much for joining us and to NPR for their support. If you'd like to know more about our services, visit our website at www.citylibrary.pncc.govt.nz. Connect with us on Facebook by searching Palmerston North City Library or give us a call on 06 351 4100.
If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. NPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out npr.nz for more information. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.